In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we become more and more familiar with the Gospels, as they become more part of us, it is sometimes easy for us to not realize how extraordinarily radical some of the things that we read in them really are. Today's gospel is a good example. For, of course, it's the gospel of Matthew. Now, Matthew, we know, was a tax collector who came from a certain rigid and rather unbending tradition. And he also spent much of his time before he was called breaking the rules of that tradition. But even after he came to our Lord Jesus Christ, it was probably difficult for him to record some of the things that our Lord did, and even harder to understand what they really meant. Well, today we have a good example of that. There is a woman, a pagan woman, and Mark says that she is a Syrophoenician, and St. Matthew says that she is a Canaanite. Anyway, it would have been in a place that was outside of Galilee, and it's the only time recorded in the Gospels that our Lord went into this area. So it must have been something that was quite intentional. What all happened there, we never will know. Perhaps it was only for the sake of this one woman. But it's an extraordinary thing that happens here, because this woman who had a daughter who was possessed by a demon. Now, the apostles, to them, they probably thought, well, that's hardly surprising. We believe that your whole people are possessed by demons. You're outside the household of faith. What would we even have to do with you? And at first, the Lord himself seems to echo this kind of sentiment, because she says something to him, comes begging him, and in the Greek, it even indicates that she bowed down almost like a dog would before its master. And the Lord ignored her. And in fact, the disciples were saying, Lord, send her away. You know, get rid of this woman. You know, what are we doing in this area anyway? We shouldn't be here. This is not our place, not our people. And then the woman comes again, and she's just insistent. She is saying, please, please help my daughter. And then the Lord turns to her and really slaps her down when you think about it. Because he says, it's not right that us should give something as wonderful and important as the bread on our table to the dogs. So he's calling this woman a dog. In front of everybody. Wow, that seems pretty harsh, doesn't it? Because then he goes on to say that, you know, it's really, what I'm offering you is really for the children of Israel. Because I've come to fulfill that which had begun to be planted in them and which has now come to fruition. So no, I can't have anything to do with you, and you certainly aren't deserving of anything that I have to give you. Now, what were the disciples thinking at this point? Oh, finally, the Lord has finally seen the light. He understands what we know, that these people are not worthy of us even being in their area. And so now he's really told this woman off, and we can get rid of her and get on our way and get out of this place. But the woman is insistent. Even more. Lord, even the dogs have a right to feed off the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And at this, the Lord is moved excessively, and says, such faith, such amazing faith. What were the disciples thinking then? Well, wait a minute. We're the ones who gave everything up to follow you. What about our faith? You know, what about us? Well, he didn't say anything to them after that. It was simply, this woman has great faith. What you have sought now is done. The demon is gone. What a wonderful thing. What a tough thing for the disciples to swallow. I mean, that had to be really, really difficult. And the only reason I say that is because of what they said to him, that get her out of here. You know, this is not yet the warm and welcoming college of disciples. You know, the 12 wondrous saints that we would know so much about and that we would revere and place them up on our iconostasis and understand by the further things that happened in their lives, the great miracles that they worked, their testimony, almost all of them giving their lives for Jesus Christ. This isn't that bunch yet. This is a bunch that's still learning what is going on, that is still trying to understand what the Lord is teaching. Of course, if they had really known the Scriptures well at this point, they would have hearkened back to that place in Isaiah. I think it's chapter 2, where it talks about how the faith of God shall be up on a high mountain and all the nations shall come to it. But they weren't there yet. They didn't understand what the Lord was all about. And of course, the Lord, the words that he was giving to this Phoenician woman were not intently trying to put her down or to dissuade her supplications. He wasn't doing that. He was making a point. And the point was that salvation did indeed come from the people of Israel, and that it was to them that the Lord came first, but that his mission was much, much greater. And when talking to this woman, he is as much speaking to his disciples at the very same time, saying, look, you're right. Salvation is from the Jews. There's no question about that. And I came to find the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But my mission is going to be far greater than anything you could ever imagine. And so what you need to do now is accept this and get used to it, because there's a lot more that's coming after this. What an extraordinary thing for the Lord to say. I had typed out something, in fact, that Saint Ephrem the Syrian actually said about this. So I thought it was beautiful. He said, you too, daughter of Canaan, for righteousness conquered the unconquerable one by boldness. The just one set a boundary on the land of the Gentiles that the gospel might not cross over. Blessed are you who broke through the obstacle fearlessly. The Lord of boundaries praised you for the strength of your faith. From afar, he healed your daughter in your house. And so Saint Ephrem tells us that this woman, completely cut off from anything having to do from the faith that the Lord Jesus Christ emerged from, she had nothing whatsoever in connection with it, that because of her boldness, because she knew not everything about the Lord, but she had heard, obviously, that there was something special about him, that he had healed people, and she was desperate. And so she was willing to step outside the confines of her own world, of all the things that she knew, whatever those happened to be, and reach out in faith to the Lord, arguing with him on a theological level, besting him almost in his own argument, which he knew that she would do, and demonstrating to all that she was indeed worthy of being granted the miracle that the Lord offered her. What does it say to us today? When we pray, when we are asking for something, most of the time, you know, it might be, Lord, please do this, that, or the other. When it doesn't happen immediately, it's all, well, you know, he wasn't really listening to me. You know, it must have not been his will or something like that. And we kind of let it go. Or our prayers perhaps resemble more of not so much what we need, but more of a wish list. You know, these are the things that I want. These are the things that I would like you to understand that need to happen. See, you are the one that needs to really, you know, sort of set aside this God thing for a minute and see it through my eyes that, you know, I really need some things here. Don't you understand? That's really what we petition the Lord about. We don't really come to Him with the type of faith that the Phoenician woman had that doesn't stop knocking, that absolutely petitions over and over again. Because the Lord in the book of Revelation tells us that He stands at the door and knocks and that we have to open. And yet we don't open. And that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. And yet we approach Him in prayer like a bunch of wimps. We don't really come to Him with fervency of faith, with absolute dedication that we are going to petition Him and petition Him over and over again if need be. Because, well, I'll tell you, and I've told some of you this years ago, a friend of mine who taught at Oral Roberts University, later became a deacon in the Antiochian church, and he got fired from Oral Roberts because he was converting everyone there. Their parish got huge, just huge. The students were flocking to it, and he was converting them. And he said to me once, he said, you know, Oral used to say that, you know, God's like a Coke machine. You put in your dollar, you get something out. It's that simple. You know, you ask and you receive. But he didn't understand that sometimes the Lord wants us to not only ask Him things in prayer, because He knows what we need. He knows what's best for us even before we say it. But He wants us to grow spiritually. And one of the ways that we grow spiritually is to persist in our prayers and supplications, to not give up. We may ask the Lord for something in our entire lives and it never happens. But does that mean that the asking was in vain? Absolutely not. Because we learn to communicate with Him. We learn to accept yes as an answer. We learn to accept no as an answer. But the important thing is to ask, to work out our salvation through petitioning Him for all the things that we feel we need in our life. And we shouldn't come up with a wish list just for the happy things. We should ask Him for the salvation of our souls, for the healing of soul and body, for all the things that we hear in the petitions in the litanies during the liturgy, we should be petitioning in our own words at home. This is what the Lord wants us to ask of Him. And even when He doesn't grant these petitions, it's not because He doesn't care about us. It's not because He doesn't know what we really want. It's because He is the Lord and He knows how to sort things out Himself. He can reach His hand into that great swirl of things that we ask Him about and that we may want or not want to happen, and decide right then and there, instantaneously, in His mind, which has been from eternity, what it is that is best for us, what we need. St. Paul talks about how we ask for things and we receive not because we ask amiss. We are not asking properly or in the right spirit. God is not a Coke machine. He doesn't work that way. That's not how He operates. He wants communication. He wants your hearts. He wants your minds. He wants your soul. And He wants your love. Knowing that we are always going to get the things that are best for us from Him. We may not see it at the time. We may not understand it. We may never understand it in this life. One day, hopefully, we will be illuminated about the things that happened to us that we did not realize at the time. But that's what trust and faith in God is all about. That's why this woman today kept insisting, because the Holy Spirit moved her, this pagan outside the house of Israel, to understand that this was someone that could do something that she sought desperately in her heart, that she wanted not for herself, but for someone else. And the Lord reaches down and He grants her that. Prayer can be, as you all know, a difficult thing. Supplication can be a difficult thing for a lot of reasons. We seem confused about what it is we should ask for. Well, is that selfish? Is that not selfish? Is this just for me? Should I supplicate for someone else? Whereas the Lord says, just dump it all right here and I will figure it out. Prayer can be difficult because we are fought against the entire time. Anytime we go to pray and we get distracted, which in some instances can happen about 10 seconds into it. Anytime we go to pray when we seem confused or we decide we don't want to be there or this is a waste of time or I'm tired of doing this, I've got other things to do. Anytime these kinds of things happen, and they happen often, remember that it's your adversary, the devil, who is fighting against you at that moment. There are no exceptions to this. Prayer is required by the Lord. It's something that He wants us to do continuously, oft times, unceasingly, as St. Paul says. And when anything gets in the way, it's spiritual warfare. And don't for a moment think it's something different. Don't try and think, well, I'm just tired or I forgot to do something or whatever it happens to be. Those are great justifications and great excuses, but they won't wash. It's spiritual warfare. What would you do if you knew there was someone outside your front door who was standing there with a gun trying to kick the door down and come in and get at you or your family? What would you think? Well, this is a battle. I've got to prepare. I've got to do something. I have to protect my family. I've got to fight this guy off. I've got to do whatever I have to do in order to save us. Wouldn't we all think that way? I would. Why should we think any different about prayer? Because it's that same way, only it's far worse. The forces that are battling against you are far worse than anything you will ever encounter in this life. They know you. They know your weaknesses, and they know your strengths. They're going to come at you through those weaknesses. They're going to try and find a way inside to interrupt your communion with God. And that's why you've got to realize that prayer is warfare. But yet we can't stop. The woman today, when she was beseeching the Lord, what did she at first think? She said something, He ignored her altogether. He didn't respond. And then when He did respond, it was devastating. But she kept on. She didn't stop. And finally, she received that which she so desired. That's the way it is with us too. We have to beseech the Lord incessantly, with fervency, with almost a militant attitude, that this is how the kingdom of heaven is taken. That I'm not going to give up. That I'm not going to be distracted. That I'm not going to let anything get in between me and my God. That's what He wants for all of us. This is the lesson from the gospel today. This is what we have to take home into our hearts and not forget it. Because so often we do. Many, many times. I know when I've been in church and I've heard sermons and I'm sitting there listening and went, oh, that's what he's saying is right. That's true. That's true. Then I walk out the door, I get home and I forget all about it. I don't think about it at all. The next time I'm praying, I'm all distracted and everything, and I'm not understanding what it is I should understand. Take it to heart. Read this gospel. Understand her persistence. And understand that you also must be as persistent, because the Lord wants this from you. He loves all of you more than you could ever, ever believe. More than the greatest love you've ever felt for someone in your life. He loves you a billion times more than that. That is what our God does for us. That's what He gives us. We just have to return a little to Him in order to receive a great deal. So don't give up in your persistence. Bring everything in front of the Lord. Absolutely everything. But understand that He's going to give you those things which are best for you out of His love for you. Amen.